Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I flex out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made and the pecs, I'm serving him. Mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
Hello, everyone. And welcome back to What Would Reggie Do?
I am Gang is back.
gang. I am your host, Lou Jimmy. And the voice you just said there was Mr. Francis.
Yo, yo.
And the man who lost to introduce himself.
How am I through to a lot of people? Dr. Ramen, Papi Chulo. Let's keep it simple. It's been a minute.
It's been more than a minute, you know. Some of us took some time off to realign our chakras.
Eat, pray, yeah. Love.
You know, sit down, meditate with a book, have some coffee, you know, maybe something in between. But it's been like an actual month since I think we actually recorded, man. Like, I've missed this. I'm not even going to lie, man. I've missed the banter. I haven't missed United, but I've just missed the banter. United has just been a story on its own. I don't think there's anything different in terms of the way I don't think we've played any better since the last time we reported. We've had a few good results. I know we've won our last two Premier League games. Both games by the score of 1-0. The latest one was against
Luton. We haven't won again by more than one goal this game.
Yeah, so Luton, we played with one Luton. I don't think so.
Yeah, have we haven't won again by more than one goal. This season. We haven't drawn any games this season. Yeah.
Are you talking just in Premier League or everywhere?
Everywhere.
We beat these guys 3-0 now. Yeah.
Cool.
Crystal Palace.
No,
oh, you're right.
We beat them 3-0.
In the cup.
Yeah, same with Crystal Palace. Are you sure they didn't score?
No.
I think they scored.
I remember. Because we played them. That was the week where we played them back to back, right?
We played them twice, yeah.
And then they beat us in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Anyways, oh, Maestro, how have you been?
Oh, man, I've been cooling, man. And my show's been going through it. But, you know, thank God. I feel great back in the ends.
Who's the keeper for my brother's keeper? Who keeps my brother's keeper when he needs to be kept?
Ay. I can't even love football.
Francois, how you been? You ready for the pod? You missed this?
I'm good, man. I'm here to persist, resist, and never give up. Wow. So,
is that like a new? Do you have like that over like the entrance to your home?
No, it's actually in front of my computer. So,
that sounds like one of those things that they sell at one of these holistic stores.
Believe, achieve, believe.
Sounds like all these Instagram guys. I don't know that guy on Instagram. Now a guy on Instagram now. What's his name again?
Who's that one? Like you and Ed or you and Larry?
Would like to make fun of him. That's what I meant by our guy.
Oh. So I didn't know. I think I know who you're talking about. Is this black guy?
Yeah.
Is he like in Larry's line of work? I think I know this guy you're talking about.
What does that even mean? Larry's line of work.
What's the name?
Yo, I can't remember his name, man. Yo, this guy. But I can hear his voice in my head right now. I can't just remember.
Boniface Ogunti. Is that the guy?
It sounds about
Are you right. talking about the financial. Financial freedom guy.
Boniface
Ogunti.
The guy that
the entrepreneur.
did not tell me to speak to you guys today.
Oh, wait, we're talking about different guys then. Like, this is what you're talking about, the lot.
No, the guy mentions a lot. The guy with, like, the... most human beings have, like, 32 set of teeth. I think he has more than 32. The guy I'm talking about.
Oh, that other guy. That you see, yeah. He puts veneers that are bigger than his mouth.
You guys are very familiar with these different people because I have no clue. I didn't tell you guys. I thought you were talking about.
How will you know? You won't know them. You will not know them.
Financial info.
Information flows up, not down. You won't know them. You barely see them. Maybe once a year.
But that guy is a comedian. Now. That guy is it's like a satire of the actual people on Instagram the guy is doing, right? I'm talking about these people that actually believe what they are saying.
Is there any different from our fellow brethren here? It's not different now. Their playbook is the same. They start off as comedians, they gain followers, and then they start leading people astray. Alas,
man, I feel like you're describing yourself.
Financial advice.
Do you want to make 1 million in 10 days?
I say people make for 500k a month selling paper. Man, this is I'm not laughed like this in a while. So it's good. I guess Mayu makes me laugh. Yeah.
Well, hopefully I'm gonna read up some of the scores we are results this month. So our first game this month was against Newcastle in the Carling Cup. Was it Carling Cup or FA Cup? I can't remember.
Carling Cup. FA Cup has not started.
Okay, so Carling Cup, we lost 3-0 to Newcastle. Then we played next Fulham away in the Premier League. We won 1-0. And then we went into one of our biggest disasters of a game against Copenhagen. We were up 2 goals. Rashford got a red card. And then the usual thing happens. We capitulated and lost the game 4-3. We don't really have any trends in terms of the way we play football. But one of the trends you notice is that we always score. We concede goals in pairs for some reason. and it's very in quick successions, like 2 goals in like the span of 3 minutes or 5 minutes. And then that's what happened against Copenhagen. We score, I think, I can't remember when Rashford got the red card, but before you know it, the game was tied 2-2 going into the half. And then Bruno scored, and then we conceded 2 more goals in quick successions. And then we played Luton yesterday and we won 1-0, but that's our result. Our next game is supposed to be against Everton, and then we go back to Galatasaray. I guess I'll start with you, Marcio. What do you think is our odds of actually getting through to the next round of the Champions League? Because technically, we can still do that if we win the rest of our games.
I don't know. Odds? I wouldn't say great, but not impossible for sure. Again, it's tough because I think in Copenhagen we started really well. Like, we started really well in this game. Obviously, the same problems that we have always show their heads once we concede or once we go to some type of adversity. First of all, not making any excuses because a lot of our performances have been bad or very uneven. But I don't think that was a red card. I don't think that was a red card at all, right?
Like, I don't think that was a red card, but in this era of hyper...
Hyper-analyzing
VAR, like, that's given every time with VAR, like I've seen most of the time.
No, it's not. Let me tell you why, right?
Because no, it's not.
I think it's different. Again, for me, it's like, if the ref gives the red card on the field, then maybe you can make the argument. The two things that happen is one or three things. One, right in front of this when it happens. Like, right in front of it when it happens. The play doesn't even stop, right? Like, nobody's talking or nobody's doing anything. The play just keeps going. So that's one. So he doesn't, he's right in front of it. He doesn't call anything. The second thing is that when VAR sends him to the monitor, they play it only from one angle and they play it in slow motion, not in real time, right? So the way they are playing it is queuing it up for him to see the stamp, right? But they don't play it in real time because he watched it in real time. He didn't think there was a problem. You're playing it in slow motion. You're not playing it in real time. And you're playing it from one angle where you get to see the stamp a little bit more. And then the last thing I'll say is, to me, if the ref doesn't call that on the field and he's right in front of it, I don't think there's enough in it for you to then send him to the monitor. Because once you send him to the monitor, you are now the ref making the decision. Like, we've never seen a situation, never, we have never seen a situation where a ref is called to the monitor and he keeps his initial decision. Never. So essentially, when VAR calls him to the monitor, it's not because they are giving him the honest chance of actually making a change, keeping his decision. It's because whoever the ref is in VAR has decided that this is a red card. And he thinks that his decision is what should supersede what the ref did. And to me, that's where, like, we run into a lot of issues with VAR. Like, in this same game that we're talking about, there is a Copenhagen defender standing in front of Onana when we concede the first goal. That Copenhagen defender is in front of him in an offside position. That is called every time. That's called against us. That was called against us in Fulham when Maguire wasn't even near the goalkeeper at all. They said he impeded the defender from getting to a ball that he was never going to get to before Garnacho. And they said because he was in an offside position, it's offside. Even though Maguire and this defender were never going to get to that ball before Garnacho. And then you do this in front of the goalie and they don't even review it. So for me, it's the unevenness of the decision making that I keep going back to. It's like, just be consistent. And so for me, it's like, that changes the game. Now, to your earlier point about conceding goals in bunches, that's facts. Like, we conceded two goals 5 minutes after the red card. And then at the very end of the game, we conceded a goal in the 83rd minute and in the 87th minute, or 83rd and 86th minute, when we are leading. And all we need to do is just see this game out. And we haven't shown a propensity to be able to, like, just, again, we lost to Copenhagen 4-3. We lost to Bayern Munich 4-3. You shouldn't score three goals away from home in Champions League and still be losing that game. And we've done it twice in the same season, in the same group stage. So going back to your question about, I think we can beat Galatasaray. I don't think we're favorites. I do think if we beat Galatasaray, Bayern Munich has already qualified. I don't see them coming to Old Trafford and playing their best squad in that final game. So I think if there's a chance for us in that final game, I think there's a decent chance that we can make it, because we have something to play for. Bayern Munich won't have anything to play for by the time they get to the final game.
That's a fair point, but you could also argue the other way, that Bayern Munich might play the young boys against Copenhagen because they feel like they can beat them without. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but Bayern Munich their second team is still very good. So I'm not saying that we'll beat them because it will be an easy game. It's more because we will be at home. This Copenhagen game is going to be in Germany. The Copenhagen game against Bayern Munich is about to be in Germany. I don't see them getting any points from that game. Now, stranger things have happened, but that's where I'm saying, like, I think they are probably going to lose that game. And then if we can beat Galatasaray, which is a big if, then we have a chance. But bear in mind, Galatasaray was losing to Copenhagen at home until Copenhagen got a red card and then Galatasaray was able to equalize. So it's possible.
Yeah. Francis, what do you actually want to, like, me personally, what I want to happen is just, I don't want us to go to the next round because I already know how this is going to end. Like, I want us to, me personally, I want us to be out on almost every competition and just focus on the Premier League, just because I feel like we need again, this is if we're going to keep ETH, which I guess we can discuss at a later time. If we're going to keep the coach, I feel like he needs more time with these guys, or maybe less time, because it feels like the time he's had with these guys, is not even, you can't really see any imprint on the field. But if you were to ask me what I want from this season is to be out of all these competitions that I know we're not going to win, and just focus on the Premier League and get the best position you can get in the Premier League, and then reset for next season. That's what I want. But Francis, what are you looking to have? Because I really don't want to go into like Europa and be playing Thursday night games, I'll be honest with you. So what is your appetite for United moving on versus like going into the Europa League, I guess is my question.
Europa League is a no-no. But if it's what I want, I think you underestimate the effect of confidence that can happen to a team when they win games, especially when they're in this situation. So what I'm saying is if United does win their next two games in Champions League and they make it the next round, I'm sure it would breathe new life into them, especially as we're trying to buy time till our better players, you know, come back from injury. So my initial preference will be to win the next two games and make it into the next round. And, you know, it's Champions League. I'm not saying United has a chance to win it or something. No, I'm just saying it gives the team confidence, say, that they were able to get past, you know, certain hurdles. But if we cannot make it, I don't want us to enter Europa League. I think we should just crash out immediately. Let's all know that the only competition we have left is Premiership for now until the FA Cup kicks in, because we're already out of Carling Cup. On one hand, you know, fitness-wise, I think with the amount of injuries we're getting, it gives the guys enough time to recover because they don't have enough of games in between. And ETH's so-called training and patterns and you know, amount of time that he needs to actually pass his information across, he'll most likely just get that. So yeah, plan A is make it into the next round of Champions League. Secondly, it will be to crash out of all competitions.
Now, Maestro, do you feel the same way, or you're like gone?
I disagree very strongly. I disagree very strongly. I'll tell you why. Because I think our squad is too big for us to be in one competition. It's hard enough to keep players happy. Like, look at what's happening with Varane right now. Bear in mind, Martinez is injured. Johnny Evans is now injured. So we have three fit central defenders.
Yeah, so I guess that's my point, though. Like, is the squad really that big?
The squad is too big for you to be in one competition. Too many people are not going to play. So for me, I would rather stay in Champions League. But if we don't make Champions League, I would rather get into Europa, so that at least some of these players will then have the opportunity to still get game time, right?
Maestro, in the last Europa League, ETH was playing the same players. So I don't know if that statement comes into effect with ETH and the comment that he makes. ETH always says he wants to play the same player so they can gain a rhythm. And then we've seen some of the adverse effects. You could say maybe they played a lot of games.
I think last season and this season, as much as last season, we went through a lot of injuries. But what you're describing, we went through more injuries towards the end of last season. So the side that we played out of necessity, right?
Towards the end of last season, we were not in as many competitions anymore. We were only in Premier League and FA Cup. No, we were in Premier League and FA Cup.
The only competition we didn't make the final is Europa League.
And we went out of Europa League when? In March.
Yes. But we
were still... So we're not there to the end now.
Yeah, but I'm saying we still had a lot of games. Like Premier League was still playing. You're still playing a lot of games in Premier League. You're playing FA Cup. Like towards the end of last season, our team... Okay, let me put it to you this way, right? Look at the players that we had last season. Would you say that Fred played at least 20 games last season?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, okay, let me do it a different way. Was there a midfielder that played less than 20 games for us last season?
Yeah, but 20 games, is it because of Europa League or because of Champions or because of Premier League? Because if you're saying it's because of Europa League... No, but you're
saying that we started with the same people, then that means some people were not playing, right? And what I'm saying to you is Eriksen played, Scott played, Bruno played, Fred played, and they played a lot.
Scott did not play. But okay, I guess what I'm saying is, how many additional games did Europa League add to our season?
I don't know. It could add as much as like 8 games.
It was 6 example. Games. We played Barcelona twice. We played the round of 16 and then we got knocked out in quarterfinals.
Okay, so what are you saying? That like, no, but you when you play Europa the whole season, that also counts, right? Like, so yeah, right now...
I'm saying it's not going to make that much difference between where we... Additional 6 games is not going to feed the need. Like, it's not going to quench the thirst of the guys in the bench.
No, it definitely will. Because by the time you get to say March or February, March, April, May, for example, you are now, if you are in these competitions, so you're in FA Cup, you are in Europa, you are going to be playing weekend, weekday. If you are not playing weekend, weekday for Europa, you will start getting Premier League games that are also in the middle of the week. So that is what actually necessitates like the rotation of the team, right? Last season, February, March, April, we did not go a week where we didn't have 2 games. Do you remember this?
But ETH played the main guys. The only time he played guys, the second guys.
Get to play, right? No, like, the, again,
the only time he played the second fiddle guys were in Carlin Cup.
It doesn't matter. Didn't. They're still playing, right? Like, what I'm saying to you is it is harder to manage a squad. Okay, those games that you are talking about, you can't even find those games for these guys if you don't have, if you're not in those competitions.
And that's what I was saying something similar, but my point is the way ETH plays, he does not rotate. So if if we're going into stronger competitions where we're playing stronger people, ETH is going to play his main guys for the most part. Our players are injured, so his hands are tight.
People are always going to be injured. People were injured last season. I'm saying if we have a squad of 27, 26 players, and you don't have an additional competition, if some of these guys come back and they are fit, you are going to run into problems. I gave you an example last season. There is no player on our team last season that you couldn't say play 20 games unless they were injured.
No, but wait. How many injuries did we have last season? Apart from Martinez, after we were already out of Europa League. Martinez injury happened first leg of Sevilla.
I'm trying to finish the like my own reason for like why I don't want us to go out of the Europa League. Martinez got injured. Varane at times got injured. Malacia got injured. Shaw at times got injured. Like, it might not be that they are gone for 10. Eriksen got injured. Like, the people that were there, that were mainstays, a lot of them keep playing. But this season, we have 3 left backs. 3 left backs, if all of them are fit. We have 2 right backs. We have 5 central midfielders. We have 5 central defenders. We have 8 central midfielders. And then 2 strikers. And then however many wingers. We didn't have Pelestri last season. We didn't have Ahmad last season. Now we have those guys. I guess we had the Langa. So, okay, you can say Langa didn't play. Now we have Sancho. He's probably going to go. Ahmad is going to be back in January or before January. We're going to have Pelestri. We're going to have Garnacho. You're going to have Anthony. You're going to have Rashford. So for me, again, it's like, it's easy to say that you just want to focus on Premier League. But to what end? We're not winning Premier League either. And I don't feel like a focus on Premier League is going to make our season better tangibly just because we have more time on the pitch. It's not it. Okay.
Okay, so what will playing these guys do? Like, I'm trying to understand your point.
It just makes more harmony in the squad. It means that people don't feel, like, if you're a player and you never get games, it's going to be frustrating. The training levels are going to drop because you don't feel like it makes a difference. There's no game for you to play, right? Like,
yes. But it goes back to what I'm saying. Last season was the same thing.
Last season was not the same thing. Again, like, so I think, who didn't play last season? Who can you point to and say?
The only time the second fiddle played was when someone else was injured. If they were not injured, Ten Hag played his mainstays all the time. We even said Casemiro this season should not play as many games as he played last season. We said the same thing for Bruno and Rashford.
Do we have injuries right now? Yes or no? Have we had a lot of injuries this season?
Yeah, we have.
Okay, so injuries are part of the game. You're talking like there's a world.
So what does that have to do with zero?
You are saying, like, again, you are saying that, I'm saying that the more games we can get to fill the squad, the better, right?
We have more players
now than we did last season.
Yeah, but our squad now doesn't reflect that we even have more players, bro.
What does that mean?
It means our team is injured. Like, we have at least 10 players injured right now. So the more games we play, the more chances of other players even getting injured. If we're not going to play in Champions League or whatnot, in Europa League, where the schedule is 2 days apart, it puts us in tougher situation to recover from.
Let me ask you, what's the benefit of focusing on Premier League?
No, it's not focusing on Premier League. It is, number one, giving us a better chance because we have a better chance to get higher up on the table because our recovery time is more, and then these guys have more time on the training field.
And do you think, okay, so you know what? Let's take a step back. Let's talk about why we think this team is having problems, because we haven't really addressed it, right? Like, we talked about Champions League, and maybe we should talk about why the team is having problems, because I don't agree that time is the problem with this team.
What do you think the problem is?
Now, let him, because he was going to that direction.
You're the one that took a step back. You tell us why you're taking a step back. I don't know why you're taking a step back.
Again, I was the one that was trying to answer my question about about trying to, like, play Europa League. And then you were the one that strongly disagreed with me. So I was already answering my question. I'll get back to answering my own. From your perspective, I answered the question as well in regards to why I don't want us to. You already answered your own question, right? I'm asking you a question now. What do you think the problem with the team is? That's my question. We've talked about this many times
about what the problem is in the team, though. There's so much wrong with the team. Structure, gameplay, injury, a combination of a lot of things is wrong with United right now. I don't know if we want to open up a can of worms or revisit old conversation. If you have any new information about what is wrong with United, let us know.
I'm not even joking. I don't actually remember what your reasons are. I'm not trying to be
funny. I just summarized everything again right now.
So in your own opinion, what fixes it?
No, you tell me what is wrong as well. Then we can talk about fixing. It's not only a one-way asking. You tell me what you think is wrong. Then we can talk about
fixing. You didn't answer my question. I summarized what I thought was wrong, though.
I summarized the structure. I summarized the injury. I talked about the lack of... I'm talking about,
like, on the field, what's going on. So you think because we have injuries, that's why we're not playing well?
Wait, what do you mean by on the field? Like, why are we not scoring goals? Or what's wrong with United?
Well? Why is this team not playing well on the field?
It's the same, but it goes back to what I said now. The team is always different. This guy has not played 11 players for two consecutive games. That's number one. That goes back to injuries. Number two, the structure, news, pressure, everything that comes with United is a lot. We scrutinize every single thing. We talk about United has not been playing well. They are 6 points behind the top of the table. But the news is United has not been playing well. United has not been playing well. Then, in the transfer window, it was, to me, I thought it was a mess with what they bought and how those guys have not gelled into the team. Right? So, and then the injuries, of course, I mentioned that one earlier. So there's a combination of rubbish in the news. Greenwood, Anthony, Varane now, Maguire, Rashford, and then a lot of players are off form. Bruno Fernandes, Rashford, who are supposedly our best players. When your best players are off form, then it just goes downhill from there. Right now, I've explained what I think is wrong with United. You explain what's wrong with United.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you said. I feel like there's a lack of confidence in the team, right? Where I might look at it a little differently is I think injury probably plays the most part in my mind, because I think ETH has some key players that he relies on to play a certain way. And when those players are not there, the dynamics of the team change drastically, right? I think without Sean Malassia as our left back, obviously, I think Reguilón came in. When he came in initially, he did a very good job. Then he started missing games as well. So now you're playing somebody in that position. What I thought he signed Mount for was to provide a different balance to the right side of our attacking build-up. Because what I found is that, like, a lot of times, teams know that our left side is our stronger side, right? So sometimes Bruno would drift there. Bruno kind of drifts to both, really. But Shaw was there. Rashford was there. And so a lot of times, and you still see it even now, a lot of times teams will, they will load up on one side of the field more and force us to actually go through the right. Right, so they overload one side of the pitch and say that we will not let Rashford ever be one-on-one in this side. You need to go to the right. And that started happening last season, and I felt like, okay, ETH are signing Mount so that we have another person in an attacking position that could work well with Anthony and Wan-Bissaka, right? I thought Wan-Bissaka, he's actually been better since he's been back than I gave him credit for. Defensively last season, I thought he was good. I thought overlapping, he always tried. His crossing isn't great and his ball control wasn't great, but he's gotten better at that. Now, in our midfield, I didn't think that we had any presence on the right-hand side that would provide a threat or be able to connect the play between Anthony, who was obviously struggling, and Wan-Bissaka. Now, again, when I go back to what I was saying about ETH, I think the way he set up to play was anticipating that Anthony would be able to offer more to the team on the right-hand side, whether that was cutting in, whether that was going to the byline, having a dependable right-back that he can then connect with, and then having a midfielder that can create. So you can either get the midfielder to overlap, to run in behind, underlap. Like, there are a lot of things you can do on the right-hand side. Now, I think when you look at what's happened is that, one person I forgot to mention was also Martinez. So Martinez was the outlet defensively. He was also on the left side of the center backs. He would be the one to get the ball out because he was more pressure resistant, get it to Shaw or Bruno or Rashford, and then they can create. Now, like I said, I feel like teams overloaded that side. And so it became imperative for us to figure out a way to start creating on the right hand. If you notice, when we play, the right hand is always one-on-one. Always one-on-one. Like, you barely ever, like, even Garnacho now, if you watch the game against Luton and again the game against Newcastle, he was, generally speaking, always one-on-one because teams don't overload that side. Now, some of the problems that we have is that
the pass is it the right side or the left side?
The right side.
Garnacho plays on left. Side. Left, plays side. On left, no?
Did you guys watch the game? Garnacho and Rashford started. they would switch back and forth.
They only switched once for 10 minutes in first half.
Where
the second half.
In the second half?
What, they removed Rashford. They removed Garnacho, you know. They removed Garnacho.
Garnacho
played there for Garnacho played there for 10 minutes in second half.
Okay. My point is I'm talking about the right side, right? Whether it's Anthony, whether it's Pelestri, whether it's Garnacho. Rashford doesn't really... Garnacho plays more on the right. If both of them play, yes, sometimes they'll play Rashford on the right. But Garnacho is the primary one that played there. I'm talking about yesterday. In my mind, anyway, when I'm thinking
wait,
about...
Wait, what do you mean by right? Like, the right back's right or the left wing?
He's talking about seven.
Right wing. Seven.
Like, Anthony's wing?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, but Garnacho didn't play there a lot yesterday, though. He played, for the most part, he played on the left-hand side for the entirety of first half.
Bro, why are you getting caught up about whether it's Garnacho or Antonio Pelestri? Does it matter?
No.
I'm just talking about the right side. Like, the right side is...
You made a point. You said anytime Garnacho and Rashford play, that Garnacho plays on the right side. And I'm saying that's not... Correct.
I said yesterday when Garnacho was on the right side, he was one on one most of the time.
Yeah, I think it points.
Like, how many times have Rashford and Garnacho actually started a game? Is it not like in the last like two games that they started together?
Yeah, and where has Garnacho started from when both of them played?
Does it matter? Like, why you get like again? I'm explaining
something. No, because you are saying this guy was one on one, but he was only there for a short period of time.
Is this because you are defending Garnacho? Like, does it matter? Like, again, I don't understand. Like, okay.
No, but I'm saying, where are you going to with the point?
Francis, like, you know where I'm going. You just want it to not be that I'm blaming Garnacho for not being able to beat his man one-on-one.
Wait. I didn't even think of that, first of all. I was wondering Rashford?
Francis, just listen to my words, right? I gave you an example. I said on the left-hand side, when it's Shaw and Rashford and Martinez, and I called the names, right? That side is always overloaded. Then I said on the other side, and I initially used Anthony. You didn't say anything, right? So let's just use Anthony or Pelestri. They are always one-on-one, right? That is the point I'm trying to make. Whether it's Garnacho or not is irrelevant.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but are you saying these guys cannot beat a man because they are one-on-one, or we need more support because they are one-on-one? Like, I don't know where this is going to.
Yeah, but you didn't let me finish. You started.
That's what I've been
Garnacho.
Trying to ask you since now. Like, I don't understand what you're saying.
Again, that's where I was getting to. So you cut me off to ask me a question about something that was irrelevant to the point that I was making. And then now that I'm trying to finish the point, you are now asking me to finish the point I was about to finish. If you let me keep talking, I would have gotten to this point that you're talking about. But you wanted to talk about your star boy.
Okay, get to your point.
Okay. So on the right-hand side, the reason why I thought he brought Mount was to support the play so that we'll be able to play better on that side. That hasn't happened. Martinez has been out of the team. So now it's even harder for us to build up because there's no outlet in defense. This is one of the reasons why he's talked about not playing Varane and he plays Evans, because in his mind, Varane is competing with Maguire for the starting right centre-back position. So without Martinez, you don't have a consistent outlet that you can get the ball to from defense. And then we also don't have Casemiro. Now, without Casemiro, he's brought in Amrabat. I'm not saying that Amrabat has been terrible, but even in the game against Copenhagen, the game against Copenhagen, when he came in, he looked like he was a little short of confidence. He lost the ball at least three or four times from defensive midfield. Now, Casemiro does some of that as well. But my point is, when we lose some of the key players that ETH has, and when I say key players, Casemiro of last season and this season are not the same. Casemiro has not nearly been as good this season as he was last season. So you start looking at some of those key players, you can't play the way that he would want to play in terms of the build-up. So now the team is affected because you are bringing in other people and he doesn't know what his best side is. So now Scott will start as It takes some time, score to start at the 8. Ericsson will play first half and be removed, or play second half and come, not play and then come in second half. Bruno is playing, but he's not impacting the game that you would hope. Rashford is not playing with the same amount of confidence. And then the right side just doesn't offer much. Like, doesn't offer much. It doesn't matter who plays there. They don't offer too much. Whether it's Anthony, I think if we got even a little bit more from the right side, if it was a little bit more of a threat, I think you would see this team do a little bit better. But that has happened progressively through the season. And now we're at a point where the mental fragility of the team just keeps showing itself. So if we concede a goal, we're like down. Like, we scored two goals in Copenhagen, we conceded one goal, and we just looked like we were ready to fold. Then we took a lead again, and then we were ready to fold. So the team is mentally fragile. But I think when I look at some of the problems, I have to go back for me to the coaching staff. I feel like as a coaching staff, you have to be able to identify more than one way to play if your important players are not playing. So for me, when you talk about more time on the pitch is going to, more time in the training is going to lead to better results, I don't agree. I don't think so. Because we've had 1.5 years now, and the players, like, that's one of the reasons why I don't get on Mount, is because at least I can feel like, okay, he's not had as much time, and the whole team has struggled. Some of the new people, it's for me, it's even a miracle if you can play well. If you're Amrabat and you can play well, okay, you've had some experience with ETH before, so some of his instructions are not going to be new to you. But if you're Hoyland, it's like nobody's even creating for you and you're trying your best, or you're Mount, or you're whoever else comes into this team. So for me, it's like extra time, I don't know if it's going to make a difference, because the instructions are not new and they are clear, right? Like the rules that this guy talks about, I think part of what the problem is that ETH is very detailed. And so when he's talking to these guys and trying to plan for what needs to happen, ETH to me is almost like, to a lesser extent, I'm not saying the same thing, but like Mourinho-ish in terms of detail. Like, if you remember, during Mourinho's time, there was a video they showed of, like, Mourinho when he came, when he wanted to play against United, and he talked about Paul Pogba, and he said, you can expect Paul Pogba to get the ball in this position. When he gets the ball in this position, he's going to look to beat a man. If he can beat a man, he's going to look for this pass to Rashford. And they considered the exact same goal that he described. And I feel like that's what has been happening with this team. That's one of the reasons why it's hard for us to change something, because the instructions that he's given, I don't feel like are unclear to the players. So either they can't execute it or the message is not getting through. I don't know that more time this season is going to be the thing that then changes that, right? To me, you do that during your summer, like, preseason, and you get all that shit done. That's when you had the most time. You're not going to have that time again this season.
So yeah, so let's keep playing games then. Then we'll keep losing, and then we'll get out of all the cups. That's the solution.
No, but your own solution doesn't make sense too, because you are saying
I was being sarcastic, bro. that was sarcasm.
I guess my time. I think
we're finished. Sorry, go ahead, Jibo.
My thing with this team, and part of my frustration is, we bought a coach who we thought was supposed to offer something more than the previous coach tactically. And I remember when we talked about it, again, this is just me diverting. I remember when we gave our end of season review, and I gave the lowest score in terms of for ETH. And one of my reasons was because even last season when we were winning, like, I always, maybe not just me, but I feel like we still question some of his subs. And I feel like that has continued. Like, I haven't seen, we brought this coach, we brought him here to offer something different, but I haven't seen that something different that he has offered. Yes, maybe we can say why a little bit more disciplined as a group, but how has that helped us win games? What has that done? What is ETA's impact in this team since he's been here? Like, he won Cali Cup, okay. Mourinho won that too. Like, what is his impact?
I wouldn't go that far, because we didn't win anything under Ole.
Only we didn't win anything at all. Anyways, regardless, we didn't win anything. We went to the final, right? Didn't we go to the final of Europa Cup?
That's not my point like, is that, what does that mean? Like, you went to the
final. No, but my point is that, like, to me, he hasn't really offered us anything different. What has he offered us besides the Carling Cup?
In terms of what? In terms of
our play on the field.
I wouldn't go that far. Like, again, there are two. So you can look at it on two perspectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, it's either the players are not capable of executing what he wants. And if that's the case, another coach is going to face the problem. And I feel like I would tend to lean towards some of that, right? Because to me, there are too many coaches that have had to adjust the way they want to play to the players on this team. Not on this team specifically, because it's not always the same people. But everybody comes with an idea. Everybody starts chopping and changing over a period of time, whether that's injury, whether that's, you know, whatever it is. Now, like I said, I do think you have to have an identity that even your second team can play. And then
that's all I'm saying.
I also think that because it's Manchester United, you have to find a way to win. Right? Like for these guys, winning is the most important thing. If you are Tottenham, if you are Brighton, if you are Aston Villa, you can afford the luxury of sticking with your guns, because while you don't win all the time, you can say this is the style of play that we are going to adopt at all costs, because you are not under the same amount of pressure that you are at United, right? Like the first four games last season, he tried to play his own style. We lost games heavily. Now, if you are Tottenham, you can say, oh, I'm just going to keep playing this way until they figure it out. You cannot do that at United. So there's some of that that is also part of this. Now, the thing that when I say coaching staff is because this is the second season. And yes, maybe if he had his full squad, I think Francis said, like, we haven't been able to play our full, what you would call first team, one time this season. Maybe if he had his full first team, he would be able to play better. And then you can build on that and bring on other people over time and play the way you want to play over a period of time. But when you don't have those guys, you have to figure out another way to win. Like you said, all of this stuff that we are saying, I think Francis said, all of this stuff that we are saying, we are still 6 points behind first place. I think we are six, right? It's 6 points. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm making that. Mm-hmm. So it's not six. Like...
Seven points after the game. But anyways, the points remain. I think I do agree with you to an extent, but I also think what compounds this, the issue with United, is the fact that the games are awful to watch. And like you said, and we're not winning the way people expect to win. I feel like let's say we have the same amount of points like in part of the season, and we're actually playing decent football, or we have an idea of the kind of football he wants to play, I think the noise would reduce a little bit. I think what compounds everything is the fact that we're basically running on the pitch like a chicken with their head cut off, and then the results are not the way the results that we're looking for at the same time. Does that make sense? I think you're compounding those two things, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like if you are in a job for almost 2 years and you can't tell me exactly what difference you brought to that job, then why are you in the job?
I don't agree again, because like, it's not that his only job as a manager in this team has been to coach. And that's another luxury that he doesn't have, right? If you have an Postecoglou or whatever his name is in Tottenham, you just have to coach. They're not buying players. If you are Brighton's guy, you just have to coach. If you are Pep, you just have to coach. ETH is our transfer guru specialist.
Yeah, but that means he gets more of the blame too, because to me, like, he was the one that brought Anthony in, number one.
Yeah, but there's a reason why teams don't put that on their managers, right? So to me, it's like the more responsibility you give him in that aspect, you give him a say in who you sign, you don't give him the responsibility about who you sign, right? Like, which signing have we had in the last 2 years that you would say was not an ETH signing?
But like, to me, I think that's a more indictment on him too, right? Because again, I understand what you mean by like he's having too much on his plate. I do get that, and I just want to park that to the side a little bit. But then some of the players is like, I'll give an example, like the one that we just talked about, Mounts. When we all when we talked about buying Mounts, I know I was like, I don't know why we're buying Mounts.
He has no plan for him.
Yeah. So, but I think you, among three of us, you were more optimistic about Mount because you felt like he might offer us something different in the middle of the pack, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what, yeah. And then if you look at our biggest game this season, Mount hasn't even started those games. Then why did you buy him?
Yeah, but again, for me, it's hard to start with Mount because right? Like, to me, and I know I look at this differently from the rest of you guys. It's like, okay, City signed Guardiola, the defender. They signed him for 100 mm-hmm. million. Mm-hmm. They signed Matias Nunes, I think. They signed him for like 50, 60 million. They signed mm-hmm. Doku. They signed him for 60 million.
Mm-hmm.
Guardiola, in Pep's press conference this week, they asked him, can he play in the central midfield? He said, no, he's not ready. He said his training performances has shown that he cannot play in that position. That look at John Stones. John Stones was with me for 8 years or something like that. I forget how long he said. And now, over repetition, he can play in that position. This guy is still young, but he cannot play in that position today. And the way I'm saying it now was much kinder than the way Pep said it. When he signed Nunes, you haven't even seen Nunes play.
Yeah, but
maybe once or twice. But that's
well,
my
he didn't
point
sign Nunes like, as like a key. You get what I'm trying to say? Like, I think you're comparing two different
but
things.
But that's my point. That's my point is that, like,
okay,
he can afford to do that with a new player. Like, not every player is going to be Doku that comes into the team. And the pressure on those players is not the same because your current crop of players are the ones that can carry it because they are the ones that have been in the system longer. So for me, it's like, if Bruno is not playing well, why would I look at Mount and then be disappointed with Mount? Like, I don't feel like the people that are playing on the... Like, look at Casemiro. To me, Casemiro has been worse than Mount this season when he's played. Now, again, Mount hasn't shown anything. Nothing. And it doesn't look like ETH has actually played him in a position where you can say this was the plan. I agree.
And that's my point. I think my point is less about how he's playing, about the fact that he's not even playing him at all. And then why did you buy him?
It's not like he's not playing at all. Let's not do that. Like, it's not like
But you know what I mean? Like, he's not starting. You bought him as a starter, right? If, you know, can we all agree
on
that?
But again, the period where he stopped playing was because he got injured. In that period, Scott McTominay started scoring for us. So you can't, like, he can't come back and take Scott's
Mount
sport.
And Scott, though, like, but that's my, anyways, I don't want to, like, go, but I feel like Mount should be benching Scott regardless of whatever Scott offers to this team. I guess is my point.
but again, like, it's like Scott has actually been one of the people that have shown something. Like, again, to me, it's like the team, if the team is not playing well as a manager, these are human beings you are dealing with. If you take Scott out of that, when he's played well for you, you lose that player, right? Like, it's not like Mount can beat his chest and say, I deserve to play. But for me, it's like the pressure for him to be able to offer something to the team is there. If, like, look at Anthony last season. That, to me, is an example of somebody that you can say, okay, we should expect a little bit more from you, right? Because most of, like, the team was playing better, but Anthony was a clear weakness. Then it's easier for me to judge you, right? Like, this season, it's like you're chopping and changing everything. Like, Hannibal has started. He's looked good sometimes. He's not looked good. Eriksen has played sometimes. He's looked good, but again, he can only play like a half before he starts. His performance starts dropping. Scott, Amrabat has come in. He's kind of looked good. The team as a whole, I guess, has struggled. And for me, it's like, those responsibilities that you have as a coach to just coach are not there United, because like Francis said, the structure is not great. There's a reason why you don't just give a coach an empty checkbook and say anybody you want, you can get. And where is our scouting department?
Is going to be an issue. This is going to be an issue if he doesn't work for Ten Hag in the next couple of years, because this guy has signed most players that either he has worked with or he's affiliated with in some way, shape, or form. And then the next manager is going to come in and be and start afresh. If this new deal goes in again, we probably might pivot here a little bit. If this new deal goes through with the Ineos guys, and then they do appoint a sporting director, the first thing I'm going to do is make sure Ten Hag does not sign anybody he has worked with again, ever. They must sign someone else that fits the type of play or structure or whatever that the club has decided that they want to play. How do you go and sign 11 players? And if you call out those 11 players or by name and on paper and what they've done, none of them even like tickle your fancy in any way, apart from Martinez.
Yeah, that's not true. Come on. Wait.
Apart from Martinez and this guy, the guy that plays strike force, Hoyland. No other person. To me, you guys can have your separate opinion. Eh?
What do you say this about Casemiro last season?
I said it when we were about to sign Casemiro, but then Casemiro had good games, and obviously, when you are winning, you tend to forget the main issue because you put it to one side. No other big club will have spent 60 million on a 30-year-old DM. No other club. That just spells desperation. You don't have a plan and you don't know what you're doing. Now,
but that's not Kakashi's fault though, right? Like that's
I'm not club. Saying it's his fault. Like that was... It's not his fault, but I'm saying it is going to set the club back by 2 years at least if it doesn't work out for ETH and we don't have good sporting structure in the next year or in the next 8 months.
Oh, for sure. But I agree with that. But again, it's like the responsibility is on the club to have that structure, to have like the what's it called? The director of football. Like we have John Manta right now. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know who he's
finding. Is John Marta supposed to be? Is he supposed to be director of football? Is he supposed to be the pseudo director of football?
Yeah, he's the director of football. Pseudo,
that's the title.
Yeah, so why are we saying that we don't have director of football then?
Because he doesn't actually do anything. Like you said, if your coach is the one that assigned most of the players that you have, then what is, like, you spent all summer trying to chase Frankie de Jong, then at the very end you pivot and you signed Casemiro for 60 million. You spend all summer like dilly dallying on Anthony, that you spend 100 million on Anthony. Like, to me, it's like part of the problem with Anthony is even the price. Like, obviously, Anthony hasn't shown that he's a good player. But if you sign Anthony for 40 million, nobody is up in arms the same way we are. But it's like, when you sign it. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, to me, for Anthony, I don't think the price matters. And I don't think I've ever, for the most time when I talk about Anthony, I've never really mentioned his price. I just don't think he's a good enough footballer to me.
I'm beginning to agree with you.
If you think about all the criticism I've given, and I've given Anthony this criticism since he bought him, I'm like, I don't see it. You can't be a right winger and not want to go to the right. Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, initially, I thought it was a whole thing of, having to settle in and then maybe give him more time and whatnot, because he was showing, glimpses of good football here and there. Like, there are some games I can still remember, like against Tottenham at Old Trafford, like he balled out. Against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, he balled out. Like, he was one of our best players. I noticed how, the team would drop a little bit in performance when he's not playing, when there's no one in that right wing. But to be honest with you, I think it actually comes down to not having enough good options there that I'm like, okay, maybe this guy is our be-all and end-all because there's no one else that can come in for him. But if we keep saying like Anthony is a system player and he brings us up the field and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, then the chances of him performing is going to be very, very low. Because when are we ever going to get that system right? And when are we ever going to say, okay, this team has gone up to the level where, okay, this guy should be performing consistently. So with what I've seen, I don't think he's ever going to be that consistent performer at United. He's not a game changer. They say he tracks back, like we didn't buy a defensive winger. So I don't know. The price tag thing is another part of it that hurts a lot because it's a lot of money. And that money could have, you know, gone somewhere else. But it is what it is. It just goes back to United being stupid.
These are back-to-back right fingers on Sancho.
To me, I think Sancho has had better performances than Anthony.
Nah, there's no way, man. There's no way. Sancho and Anthony have the same number of goals. Or maybe just a little bit.
That's not true.
Bro, go and check. Go and check. Like, Sancho hasn't done anything. Right, Sancho hasn't done anything for us, man.
Yeah.
Sancho probably has maybe two or three more goals than Anthony in three seasons. Nah, B. Sancho is another fraud that gets away with a lot. He was the highest paid player on our team. Like, people are getting on Rashford now. And they call the price of what Rashford makes a week. I'm like, you know, Rashford makes 25k more than Sancho, and he just signed his own deal. Sancho has been on that deal for 3 years, bro.
I think that's a bigger overall structure of United.
Sancho has scored more than this guy now. Sancho has 12 goals. This guy has 5, 6, 4, 5, 6.
Bro, stop. This guy did not score 6 goals last season. Stop. Anthony did score 6 goals. Are you talking about just in Premier League?
I'm talking about in total, Sancho scored six goals Anthony. Last season. Yeah. Anthony scored 4 last season. And Sancho scored 6.
Now he's gonna check. That's
it's on Google now. Sancho scored 6 last season before that he scored 3. This is just in Premier League. Oh. Sancho still scored in Champions League.
Yeah, that's again. I asked, is it just Premier League?
Yeah, he said overall.
I'm adding overall now. Overall for Sancho is 11 goals. 6 plus 3, 9, 9 plus 1, 10, 11.
Huh? This guy just did mass of 10 and then said 11.
How? What are you listening to me? Are you talking about just
3, 9 plus 1, 10, and 11?
10 plus 1, 11.
You miss a lot plus 1. That's what Brian Lyon is saying. Don't worry. Like when
it's not me that is reading the number. It's not me.
I know, but when you initially said it, you missed that last plus 1. You went 9 plus 1, 11. That's what you did. If you go back and listen. So that's what
Lyon. Again, this is including 2021-2022 season.
So 3 seasons.
Yes. And this guy has what, 6 assists? Sancho, Anthony has 2. Man, fuck Anthony, I beg. I'll take Sancho any day over Anthony.
Anyways, my own is just eye test.
This is only Premier League. Those numbers they're talking about are only Premier League. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page now. I have to go and look for his. I'm guessing his Wikipedia that he looked at, right?
For who? For the band players. Yeah, Anthony has 4 plus 1, 5 plus 2, 7 goals in total.
You just said he had 4 goals in total now.
I said, bro.
Jibo, please, did you hear 4 goals or not?
I had 4 goals. Yeah, that's
so. I said 4 goals in Premier League compared to Sancho's 6 the season before.
You in total, you said 4. Okay, so in total, how many does he have?
4 plus 1, 5 plus 2, 7.
So he has 7 in total. Sancho has 11 in total.
11.
In 3 seasons. Bro, come on, man.
Anyways, I don't know. I think my issue with just Anthony is just like I just never saw it with him. Like
no, both of them have been trash for us. Like I guess that will come down to
something.
Jibo, who are you picking if you have to stick with one player?
Oh, I'm going to stick with Anthony. I'm sorry, Sancho. Because Sancho, at least Sancho can use his rights.
And Larry, you're picking Anthony, I'm guessing.
100%. 100%.
I'm picking Sancho over him any day.
Yeah, I'm picking Sancho. Just because
at least Anthony can cut in and shoot and maybe score.
But that's all he does.
Sancho can't.
How many times does he get the chance to even cut in and shoot?
Yeah, but
how many of those?
But he said he scored 7 goals last season, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's to be fair, that's how he scored all his goals last season.
Yeah, and I feel like Anthony, again, this season not so much, but last season he would get into like decent goal scoring. Towards the end of the season, especially, he would get into decent goal scoring. This is where his finishing was just trash. The thing with Sancho for me is I just don't think Sancho has any desire. Like, he just looks like somebody that is satisfied to just fly under the radar. I feel like, again, Anthony, I'm not saying we're comparing two trash options. I want to be clear, right? So I'm only going for the option that I feel like actually shows me more desire. I don't think Sancho has more ability because he can't beat a man. He doesn't have pace. Maybe he can do 1-2. But yeah, like Anthony is faster than Sancho. He's finishing on at least on his left leg is better than Sancho. So Sancho can do maybe link up play a little bit better, but You need a little more pace and a little more energy or strength or something. It doesn't offer much. But anyway, yeah, I think the signings have been shaky. Now, I'll ask you guys a question because there are a number of people that have been linked to United. Do you think a different coach produces better results? So you can use the Zerbi or the guy at Sporting Lisbon. Those are two of the people that I've heard. Do you think a change of manager will produce better results, whether in the short term, in the long term? What do you guys think?
Me, not with the same structure. If you're going to have the same structure, it makes no difference because we've had five coaches and all the five coaches. I mean, to be fair, some of those coaches were on a, you could say, downward spiral. So I'm not really sure. But if we're having the same footballing structure at the top, it makes no difference. So I would rather fix that and then give ETH a little bit more time, see if he can fit the needs of what the club is trying to achieve. If he doesn't, then you have justification to take him out. If he does, then kudos to him. So I won't just remove him right away because it's not going to solve anything.
I'll give it to the end of the season. I'm not just a fan of just making changes mid-season. Like, to me, I don't expect anything out of the season. And we might as well just see it through to the end and just start over because you bring someone in mid-season now, and then what happens? We still have the same corporate players. Like, again, I hate to be like happy to Anthony. I don't think Anthony will work in any system for me personally, because again, I always come back to, you can't be a right winger and not want to go right. Like that's a whole pitch of the side that you're not utilizing because then it affects the overlap. It affects how people, mark that position because you can't, they know what you want to do. Like it's, even though again, he has scored his goals and I gave him last season, but you can't just be like predicated on just one move. It doesn't work that way. We talk about Mahrez, and I think we had this argument last season when we were talking about Anthony and Mahrez. I'm like, even though Mahrez is not the best on his right, like if you give Mahrez that right hand side, he's still going to go there. And that's the difference. So I think it's here to say the end of the season, but me personally, like, I just don't see him as the coach. I don't see his ability to get through to players. I don't see, again, he might have done well with Ajax. And I think someone made this point in one of the podcasts I was listening to. Like the players he had in Ajax were kind of like up and coming mostly, most of them, right? Like the players we have at United, like we have very, very few players that we have that are from the academy. And maybe that actually says a lot because when we see most of the academy players coming, they actually show more energy than the guys who are like the supposed veterans. Like, I don't know. I don't think he has a way of getting through to like established players. That's just me personally. I don't see it with him. But anyways, we'll wait till the end of the season and see what happens. That's my answer for ETH.
Francis, do you think it's at the end of the season? For me, I don't. Oh, okay.
No, go ahead. I was going to say, I answered mine already.
Oh, okay. I don't think a change of manager right now is going to make a difference, right? Like, I agree with what you guys said. I think some of this is, I think there's a reason why most of the coaches that have come have not tried to play a position, a possession-based system. I don't feel like when I watch the players, I'm looking at people that show me that they have the ability to play a possession-based system and we're just not utilizing their talents the right way. I think in key positions, like Bruno's position, Rashford's position, in our midfield, really, like, there are very few people that you would say are truly press resistant. Zero. And I think your midfield has
to be. I can answer that question for you, zero.
Yeah, I think your midfield probably has to be press resistant, or at least your, even if you're not press resistant, your positioning, your positional awareness has to be extremely sharp. And if this guy is reiterating to them that, like, this is how I want you to play, this is how I want you to play, and they're struggling with what you would say is not even a full-based possession system, then I think they will struggle with the coach that comes in and says, okay, let's play, you know, the way some of these bigger teams play. One last thing I wanted to say was, I remember, like, ETH talking about, or maybe it was the Athletic that wrote the article, where they said, when the thing happened with Sancho, where he didn't play, where he didn't train well that week, that ETH actually called him in and showed him clips of the training session and said, this is what I expect of you. This is where I think you didn't meet the standard. And he told him, and the players in the locker room knew. So even when he came out after the Arsenal game and answered that question, the players were not surprised, because he had said it to him and the players were aware, right? And I think, again, if you look at some of, and I'm not picking on Sancho specifically, I'm trying to make the point that, like, you know, I talked about Pep talking about Nunes, saying Nunes needs to work on his first touch before he can start for us. Guardiola, mm-hmm. he can't play in the center position before. When you hear Klopp talk about, that, what's his name? Their number nine. Is it Nunes? I forget their number nine, the clumsy guy, you know, that talks about he knows why he's not starting for me. I've explained it to him. He needs to do this. This is better. Like, those are not things that are ridiculous for you to say. But if you then have players that are going to either question or not execute, it makes it much harder. And, like, to your point, most other coaches that we would bring are people that have worked with up-and-coming players, like De Zerbi. If we brought him from Brighton, he's only worked with up-and-coming players, not stars. Sporting Lisbon guy, up-and-coming players, not stars. So we would just be replicating some of the same types of conditions that ETH has and expecting to get different results. So, yeah, I don't think at least changing him is going to bring a different result right now until the structure is in place.
We have international break coming up, I think, right? Am I? So we don't have any game in the next 2 weeks, I guess. Or I guess 10 days, if you want to be exact. But until then, we'll see how many players are actually going on international break, do we know? Because we have so many injuries.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Even know, man.
Yeah. But anyways,
I wonder if going for France.
Varane, I think we can discuss Varane at another day.
For France? He has retired from football now. From international.
He seems to be like something going on with him and ETH. Even when he was brought on during the Champions League, I heard he wasn't happy at all. So.
He'll be fine.
Wow. Fourth time Champions League winner.
I think this summer is going to be our own summer of Saudi sales, man. I think we're going to have three players that are going to make that transition to the Saudi league.
To me, again, I know we're not talking about that right now, but we'll talk about it in the future. Like, to me, my priority with this team is get people press resistance. Like, I've always talked about this. Like, you can't have players who are not press resistance. Like, in the Premier League, I don't think that's going to work, take us anywhere far. if you have players who are just always rushing and passing the ball like hot potatoes. Anyways, it's been good. It's been just to the end of our podcast. Thank you all for listening. We are back, and hopefully we're not taking any other break besides international break. But thank you all for listening. Give us
watch out for Ineos in the next few days. We'll talk about that when we get more information.
Give us a follow. Still won't be signed by the time we record this next one.
Yeah, I won't be surprised. But if these guys are already talking about it on Steam, saying that it was going to happen by Monday, then we'll see.
Yeah. On that note, give us a follow on socials and what we're going to do on Twitter, Instagram, and also TikTok. Also rate and review us. You cannot do that on Spotify. 5 stars only. Anything less than 5 stars.
Give it to yourself.
You don't know the vibe. You know, man.